This is Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, 8 months after four Americans were killed in Benghazi, the truth is finally being heard.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We got to get our act together between the administration and the Congress. If this is a priority and if we are serious about trying to help this government stand up security and deal with what is a very dangerous environment from east to west, then we have to work together. With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Some have sought to justify this vicious behavior along with the protest that took place at our embassy in Cairo yesterday as a response to inflammatory material posted on the internet.
We can all condemn this reprehensible video.
We find the video that has been so offensive to Muslims to be disgusting and reprehensible.
Although we had nothing to do with the video, we find it offensive. It's not representative of America's views.
It was a crude and disgusting video, sparked outrage throughout the Muslim world. Now, I have made it clear that the United States government had nothing to do with this video.
Tell me sweet little lies.
And now your host, Stan Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome in to Jay Sekulow Live. Stan Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. David French, senior counsel for the ACLJ, is joining me from our media center in Franklin, Tennessee. And folks, I want to make a statement right at the beginning of today's broadcast about the magnitude of this unfolding story, this unfolding scandal in Libya. You know, I believe, and I've believed this, folks, since the days immediately following this attack. I know that Jay has said this on the air. I believe that this is the most serious presidential-level scandal and cover-up in American history. You know, we've heard a lot this week about Watergate, comparisons to Watergate, and that was obviously very serious. It was criminal activity. But, folks, that was a politically motivated break-in and then a cover-up. And obviously you had President Clinton's situation where there were very serious moral failings and then a cover-up and an impeachment. But, folks, this scandal in Benghazi involves four dead Americans. One of them our ambassador. And it involves not only a cover-up, but it involves an administration right up to the President of the United States and the Secretary of State who deliberately chose to tell a story that it now is clear they knew was not true. Tomorrow in Congress, we are going to hear testimony that will back this up. We're going to hear from Greg Hicks, the second in command from that Benghazi consulate, the highest-ranking survivor of the attack. He's going to paint a picture of shock when he heard Susan Rice go on those news on those talk shows and tell a story that he knew was not true. David, very quickly before we go to the break, it's been 8 months since these attacks. We have nobody in custody, and we still have an administration that is continuing to tell us lies.
Than, we do have one person in custody. We have the guy who did the YouTube video. He's in custody, but the Ansar al-Sharia militia, which was responsible for the attacks, not only is roaming free in Benghazi, it is actually assuming greater power and greater control. So how is that just? I mean, look, you hit the nail on the head. It is hard to overstate the seriousness of this scandal. It began with negligence as they drew down security. It went to cowardice as they refused to support Americans under fire. And it ended in lies, and there's no excuse.
It's time for this administration, folks, to come forward and tell the truth. We have to prevent future attacks. Tomorrow's hearing is an opportunity not for politicians and policymakers to make political statements. Tomorrow is an opportunity for Greg Hicks to tell the truth about what happened on the ground in Benghazi. If you want that to be the case, we need to hear from you now. Call 877-989-2255. We're communicating with the Hill today. You can also sign that petition at aclj.org. But today is the day. Call 877-989-2255.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. 4 months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org.
We were misled that there was supposedly protests, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
Folks, again, phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. But I've got to tell you, what difference does it make? What difference does it make, folks? Madam Secretary, it makes all of the difference in the world. When we lose four Americans, one of them an ambassador, to a terrorist attack, first of all, they have a right to have those perpetrators brought to justice. And to have a chance to do that, we have to be able to identify them, and we have to admit what happened. It makes all the difference in the world. And, David, we're going to get to these phone calls in just a minute, but I keep coming back to this point. Surely by now the administration will have had to have learned that this is not an isolated incident. There will be additional attacks. There are more attacks being planned right now. I can guarantee it. In fact, we just had the Boston bombings. If we are going to take the position that it does not matter who did this or why they did it, we are not going to be less able to prevent those future attacks. So this foreign policy of ignoring facts and forcing everything that might happen to happen or every threat into a preconceived narrative, it is causing America to be less safe, and it is causing Americans to be less safe.
And what are you doing to me? Every time you play that bite, I get angrier. It's one of the most ridiculous statements from a public official I've ever heard in Washington. What difference does it make? As you said, it makes all the difference in the world. And what we're doing here is we're not only lying in a campaign season to help get a president reelected, which is what occurred prior to November of 2012. But then what we're also doing is we're deliberately engaging in willful blindness. We're creating some sort of weird game of cops and robbers instead of treating this like we're at war, while the people who committed this act are running the streets of Benghazi or openly out in the streets of Benghazi, are running checkpoints, news reports indicated today, unmolested. It's absurd. Politics was before principle. Politics was before safety. Politics was before the slightest bit of courage. It seemed like the courage that night on September 12th, 2012, stopped at the shores of Libya. The American,
I think,
I was going to say, the Americans there did everything they could in the finest traditions of American public service to save lives and to defeat the attackers. Everyone outside of Libya failed them.
No question about it. And the tragedy remains that Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods, two of the individuals who lost their lives on that night, their lives were lost 7 hours into this attack, well after the State Department was notified. And I actually want to get back to the point about Hillary Clinton and her responsibility on this in just a moment. But I think tomorrow's testimony, folks, this is going to be significant. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever heard before, because it's going to be from folks who were on the ground, highest-ranking officials surviving the attack, second in command, the last person that we know that Ambassador Stevens actually communicated with before he lost his life. So I think the ramifications from tomorrow's hearing are going to be sweeping. I think it's going to be have an impact on the president, the legacy that he has for the rest of his life. I think it's going to have an impact on our foreign policy moving forward. And folks, I think it is going to have a devastating impact on the political career of Hillary Clinton. I think back to 2008 when she was running a primary against Barack Obama. And among Democratic voters, one of the areas that she seemed to have an advantage in is she was the one they trusted to answer this call in the middle of the night when we had a national security threat. She had an advantage in that category. Well, fast forward to last year in Benghazi, folks, she took that call, and she chose not to respond. In fact, she chose, through some level of command, to give a stand-down order. As she looks to 2016, folks, I think testimony in tomorrow's hearing is going to have a very damaging effect on her potential to capture the White House. I think that may be one of the lasting impacts from what comes out of tomorrow. But I want to hear what you think. Again, phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And before I get to the first call, I just want to say today is the last opportunity, folks, in advance of this hearing for you to make your voice heard. I'm communicating with The Hill today about how to prepare for tomorrow's testimony to make sure that Greg Hicks gets the opportunity to speak the truth. If you want to stand with us, if you want to send that message to Congress to force the president to tell the truth, call now, 877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255. Let's go to Carrie calling from Colorado on line 3. Carrie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thanks for what you guys do. And I just want to know if everything goes as well as what they're hoping for in this. Are they going to go back and do anything with Fast and Furious?
Yeah, I'll go to David on this in just a minute, but I think there are two aspects to this question, Carrie. And first of all, I think on both of these topics, Chairman Issa deserves a lot of credit for continuing to pursue the truth. You know, the press told him many times to stop pursuing these stories, that Jay Carney said they happened a long time ago. He should stop pursuing them. He has continued to pursue them. He deserves credit for that. Jason Chaffetz as well. He's continued to go over to Libya and pursue the truth. As far as Fast and Furious, David, I think tomorrow may be an indication of whether or not that is still alive. We need to see these congressmen ask the right questions, but then we need to see them let Greg Hicks and Mark Thompson and Eric Nordstrom and the rest of the witnesses actually just tell the facts.
Well, that's exactly right. And on the Fast and Furious matter, that's not been dropped. There's still an ongoing contempt proceeding right now against the Attorney General, and there are negotiations ongoing regarding getting a hold of the documents that the Attorney General has been withholding. And until we get those additional documents, until we resolve that contempt of Congress issue, the investigation is at least somewhat of a standstill. But it's not as if the members of the House who've been plugging along on this have dropped the ball. They are persisting, they are pursuing the matter, and there is an ongoing court process that we have to be aware of. So it's a great question, and I think the thing that should reassure people is it has not been dropped. It's now in the legal in a legal proceeding, and we'll see what happens in that over the long run. And unfortunately, legal proceedings can take a very long time.
No doubt about it. I think one of the things that's going to be compelling tomorrow is most of the facts, folks, in this case, the truth, is pretty apparent. I mean, right down to the fact that we know Who was responsible for requesting a change in those talking points that eventually Susan Rice used to deceive the American people? They came from the State Department. The State Department spokesman, Victoria Nuland, said that my building has a problem with these talking points, and she specifically wanted to delete references to Anwar al-Sharia, the terrorist organization who was claiming responsibility. The State Department folks specifically wanted to downplay the possibility that this was a terrorist attack, something that we now know to be the case. So tomorrow, it's important that the truth stand on its own, that the congressmen not get in the way of that truth, that they simply allow that truth to be told and stand for itself. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Janie is calling from New Jersey on line two. Janie, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, yes. So I'm calling in reference to the Benghazi attack. I'm wondering why all this emphasis put on Hillary Clinton and her responsibility when at the 9/11 original attack in 2001, this country knew the two men that were involved in this incident, they knew they were on the list as possible terrorists, but yet and still they allowed it to happen. Now, I'm sure the FBI and the CIA or whoever in Washington at the time knew this also. So why?
I'm going to go to David French on this question. And David, there's been a lot of blame Bush that's carried throughout this administration. Let me focus in on this and let you respond. We're talking about an attack that was 8 months ago. President Bush put a lot of security enhancements into place, but Secretary Clinton and President Obama were the ones in place to handle this attack.
Well, right. I mean, you know, this might surprise you, Than. I'm going to agree with her to a very limited extent. I mean, President Bush was the commander-in-chief when we suffered our greatest loss of civilian life in any conflict in American history. And he bears responsibility for not keeping us safe on September 11th. Now, why did we fail? There were a lot of reasons why we failed. And what's different from Benghazi is we thoroughly aired those out. We passed laws, including the Patriot Act, to fix the problem. And then we went very hard after the people responsible. Now, Benghazi, it's exactly the opposite. We've had a whitewash investigation. There was a security failure in Obama's watch. We whitewashed the investigation. We lied about who was responsible. And the people responsible are still running free. So the response couldn't be more different between the Bush response to 9/11-2001 and the Obama administration response to 9/11-2012.
Yeah, and folks, the story has continued to change. There's been one excuse after another, from the YouTube to resources not being in the area. We just have not been told the truth. Tomorrow we hope to get the truth. If you want the truth, if you want Greg Hicks and Mark Thompson to be able to tell their story from their perspective on the ground, call now, 877-989-2255. Next segment of the broadcast, going to have an update for you on Pastor Saeed. It's his birthday today. But if you want the truth in Benghazi, call now, 877-989-2255.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American Pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
You gotta keep it strong. Move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along just to make it through. When all you gotta keep it strong.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast as we look forward to tomorrow's congressional hearing. At which, folks, we hope to get some truth about why four Americans, Ambassador Chris Stevens, Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith, and then two former Navy SEALs who were on security detail, Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods. Folks, why did they die and no one was sent in to assist them? That is what we hope to find answers to tomorrow. We hope to know just what extent the President of the United States, Secretary Hillary Clinton, and others within the State Department and others in the administration were involved in these decisions not to send in additional resources, not to send reinforcements. Again, that is going to be in the House of Representatives, the Oversight Committee chaired by Daryl Issa. We will be bringing updates to you live on JSecular Live. I want to take just a couple of minutes here to give you an update about Pastor Saeed. So many of you have stayed engaged with his case. Of course, he remains in solitary confinement, suffering from deteriorating medical condition. He needs medical care, folks. He has not been able to get that. Joining David French in our Franklin studio is John Schneck. John has been one of the forces behind so many of our efforts at SaveSaeed.org, one of the minds behind this effort to send Pastor Saeed greetings on his birthday, which is today. And David and John, I wanted you to just update folks on the latest on Pastor Saeed and where we're at in this effort to send him encouraging letters.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, we have set up a letter-writing campaign for Saeed's birthday, which is actually today. Today is his 33rd birthday. And so far, we have had, as of about 5 minutes ago, 52,997 letters that have been written to Pastor Saeed that we are actually printing out. And we're going to deliver them to his prison in Iran for him to receive and hopefully receive some encouragement from those letters.
Well, and one of the things that we decided to do, because we've had so many letters, 52,000, and because we want to make sure that he knows that we're remembering him and praying for him and thinking about him as his captivity drags on, and we hope that he's released soon. But we are planning to try to sustain his spirits and remind his captors for the long term that we are watching them and we're watching how he is treated. And so, John, why don't you tell them a little bit about our delivery plan, which is due to the overwhelming response that we've had.
Right. The way that we are doing this is we are printing off 1,000 of these letters every week, and we are sending them in a special package right to Saeed's prison. And we are putting together a multimedia package that we're going to have on SaveSaeed.org here in the next couple days of our actual process of how we're doing this. We've had a lot of questions about the delivery process, so we're going to make that perfectly available so everyone can see and just kind of encourage everyone to keep sending letters. But what we're doing is we're going to print off 1,000 at a time, put them in a box, mail them, and hopefully Saeed will receive these letters and be encouraged by all the great words of encouragement that has been sent in through the website.
And I'm excited about this approach because it would be amazing for him to get 53,000 letters at one time, but what would happen the next week and the week after and the
right.
week after? And one of the things that's absolutely critical, as we've heard from everyone who's been imprisoned and made it out of Evan prison, is that sustained engagement. And to be clear, our listeners, the folks on who've gotten our emails, who've gone to Save Saeed, have launched what is arguably one of the largest, well, I'd not say arguably, almost certainly one of the largest letter-writing campaigns for a prisoner of conscience in history. And so this is a young effort, And what we're going to be doing is giving him a weekly reminder that he has not forgotten, and we're giving his guards a weekly reminder that he has not forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, we got 2,000 letters the first day, and we already consider that a success. And since then, we've gotten 53,000 now, so that's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, thank you very much, John, for giving us an update. And Than, I'm going to turn back to Benghazi here for a minute. We've got calls that have lit up on this. But this is one of those topics. It's like peeling an onion. Every time you peel away, there's another layer there, another layer of corruption, another layer of negligence, and sad to say, another layer of cowardice.
Yeah, and it's really been an effort at suppression on behalf of the administration, David. I mean, it has taken 8 months for us to hear from the highest-ranking survivor of the attack, someone who said that he was shocked when he heard Susan Rice go on the talk shows and give their story, their reason for these attacks. So he clearly wanted to speak out immediately following these attacks. It has taken 8 months to get him in front of Congress, and that is why I think tomorrow is going to be such a pivotal point in this story. I want to play for you a piece of sound here from Senator Lindsey Graham, who he thinks that tomorrow is going to be a turning point on this story, too. This is Senator Graham.
There's more information going to come. I think the dam is about to break, and you're going to find a system failure before, during, and after. You're going to find political manipulation 7 weeks before an election. You're going to find people asleep at the switch when it comes to the State Department, including Hillary Clinton.
The dam is about to break, and one of the things that is going to break through that dam, I think, is going to be the political career of Hillary Clinton. You talk about Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods. The administration says they did not have resources to get there in time to save his life, and I would just ask them, and I hope that this question is brought up at tomorrow's hearing, how do you know? You had cables that said this attack was ongoing, present tense, ongoing, and you didn't send any support. How do you know whether or not they would have gotten there in time? There's not an answer to that question, folks. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Scott calling from Arizona on line 4. Scott, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thank you, gentlemen. My question, and I don't mean to sound too cynical, but my question for you is, so what? The last 4.5 years, this administration has ignored the Constitution and skirted the Bill of Rights and done, you know, fast and furious to try and blame the Second Amendment for something that they set up. And there have been no consequences. It seems like...
Yeah, I understand your point, Scott, and I think there is a temptation to say so what, but I would say this, as frustrating as it can be, we cannot give up for this reason. If we give up and there are no changes in our policy, David, this will happen again. We will lose more American lives. So as frustrating as it may be to at many times work against this administration, we have an obligation to our Americans who are putting themselves in harm's way to continue to seek the truth.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you have to be patient. You have to be persistent. I mean, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about the so-called low-information voter, the voters who don't really pay attention to politics. Sometimes it takes a very long time to break through into people's lives and help them know and understand what's going on in their country. I mean, we saw a poll the other day where about 40% of Americans didn't even know Obamacare was the law. And that's been the number one topic of political conversation for years. So you have to stay at it. You have to keep at this. And you just can't assume because something didn't take or stick 6 months ago that if there is still an issue and there are still questions that have to be answered, you got to keep asking them.
It is all part of an effort from this administration, folks, to make everything that happens fit their preconceived narrative. But when you have a situation where Americans are losing their lives, and then it comes out that the State Department spokesman made a political calculation to change what the American people were told for political reasons, you have to keep asking the question. If you want those questions asked, if you want the truth told tomorrow, if you want answers to those questions, sign our petition today, 877-989-2255. We're going to continue to take your calls in the next segment of the broadcast, but call now, 877-989-2255.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. We're going to get right to your calls in this segment so that we can get to as many of you as possible. Let's start on line five with Linda calling from California. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. As far as Hillary Clinton's statement goes, so what? So what if it was her family? What do you think would have happened as far as finding out and taking care of the people? If it was somebody in her family. And second of all, I agree with the previous caller. This administration has done nothing but try and take away our rights to change the Constitution. That's not what he was hired for. He was hired to protect Americans. Period.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, Linda, and I think the evidence that is coming out indicates that she used a political motivation to make the decision, and all of the State Department did, to make a decision on how to respond. You know, her obligation, her duty, her responsibility is to protect Americans, and if that came at the expense of a political career for the president or her own political future, that should have taken a backseat, but it doesn't appear that it did. And David, before we get to the next call, I want to ask you a question because you've passed along to our listeners in the past information about resources that were in the area, and the administration has used this excuse that there were no resources to send, and that has just simply been proven to not be the case.
Oh, it's 100% false. I mean, let's be absolutely clear. There were a small group of special forces actually in the country that we now know were told to stand down and missed a C-130 flight that arguably could have gotten there in time. There are F-16s in Italy, a few hundred miles away, that certainly could have gotten there in time, certainly could have gotten there in time. And, you know, one of the things that's so deceptive, the administration realizes that Americans don't know much about our military anymore because such a small percentage serve. You know, when I was in Iraq, when we had dangerous situations, sometimes we'd send in F-16s to do a low overflight just to intimidate, just to scare off what looked to be a gathering crowd or a gathering threat. And it would work again and again and again. You know, even if they didn't have clear targets for bombs, a low overflight from F-16s maybe could have made a difference. There, we had assets there. We had a Marine recon team that was close enough to intervene in time. Again and again and again, the administration has claimed, well, we couldn't have done anything. We couldn't have done anything. That is absolutely false. And if you don't believe me, there's a great post in National Review by Bing West today that everyone should read and analyze and take to heart. All of the resources the most powerful military in the world had at its disposal and did not use to save a small band of brave American civilians surrounded in a hostile land.
And the bottom line, folks, is they did not even try. It wasn't that they weren't successful. It was that they didn't even try. Right back to the phones, let's go to Rachel calling from Georgia on line three. Rachel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thanks for all you do. Kind of pertaining to two calls ago, the so what call, I mean, the media has got such an iron dome on the mainstream media. Are they going to be forced to report on any of this, or are they just going to swing to other stories and remain blanketed of silence?
Well, let me say two things. Nothing is going to force them to report on it. You're going to hear about it from outlets like this one. We will be playing sound from the hearing. You will hear about it from us. But I have to tell you, David, this is just my opinion. I want to get your thoughts on this. But when Greg Hicks comes to the United States Congress and gives testimony about speaking with Ambassador Stevens, his friend and colleague, right before he dies, I think that's going to be so compelling that we're going to start to see more coverage of this. Do you agree?
This morning I saw it covered on the Today Show, so that's a breakthrough. And by the way, I love Rachel's comment about the Iron Dome. What an incredibly vivid description of how the media protects President Obama from incoming criticism. They've put an iron dome around it. But I think that iron dome is beginning to break. And when the Today Show is covering it in between coverage of, you know, your recipes, then maybe we're making progress.
And the United States Congress going to hear from Greg Hicks, the highest-ranking survivor of these Benghazi attacks. Folks, it's time for the truth to come out. Stand with us. Demand the truth. Call now, 877-989-2255. You can, of course, sign online as well at aclj.org. But call now, 877-989-2255. We'll be back after this break.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. There's an assault underway in America, and it's taking place inside our armed forces. The target, Christians, who are finding it more difficult than ever to express their religious beliefs. It's a growing problem, and it's getting worse, and here's why. One of the nation's most extreme anti-Christian activists is now providing advice to the Pentagon, consulting on how to shape military policy regarding religious tolerance. The advisor, Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, an anti-Christian, anti-faith activist who refers to Christians as monstrosities and pitiable unconstitutional carpetbaggers. This is the advisor the U.S. military is turning to for input on shaping policy for religious tolerance in the military. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and send a powerful message to President Obama and Defense Secretary Hagel. Protect the rights of Christians in the military. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, we're going to get back to the issue of the attacks on the Benghazi consulate in Libya, the hearings that are going to take place tomorrow. We're going to get back to that in just a few moments here. But in this segment of the broadcast, I wanted to do a couple of things for you. First of all, I wanted to remind you again that, folks, today, May 7th, is Pastor Saeed's 33rd birthday. And he is celebrating that birthday, so to speak, in solitary confinement in Evin prison in Tehran. And folks, you obviously can't think of a worse way to celebrate your birthday. What we are trying to do for Pastor Saeed, in addition to garnering all of your support, more than 500,000 people signing a petition for his release, taking his story to the international diplomatic community, to the United States government, calling on his release, we are asking you to also send a letter of encouragement, a letter of support to Pastor Saeed, and we are going to begin delivering those letters to Pastor Saeed there in Evin prison. Hopefully it will be a source of encouragement to him. So I want to encourage you to go to savesaeed.org. That's SAVESAEED.org. If you have not signed the petition, I want you to do so, and then I want you to sign a letter, write a letter, or add your name to our letter to Pastor Saeed, sending him some encouragement there in prison. But folks, I want to play for you in this segment of the broadcast a clip of a DVD documentary that we did. It's called The Export. It talks about the export of radical Islam, and we were seeing this sweeping the globe. We have a number of experts on this documentary, everyone from John Bolton to John Ashcroft to, of course, Jay Sekulow, really talking about the threat that Iran is posing, both from a capacity of acquiring nuclear weapons, but also the persecution of religious minorities. We're seeing that firsthand with this case involving Pastor Mr. Saeed. The threat is very real. It is emerging. It is growing by the day. And in many cases, the international community is standing back and doing nothing. In many ways, the United States is not doing as much as they should to prevent that export of radical Islam. So I want to go ahead and play for you a segment. This is from our DVD documentary called The Export.
It is basic American doctrine that we have at least the option to use overwhelming force against our adversaries. We have that military doctrine because we want to protect American lives. We want to protect innocent civilian lives. And the best way to defeat the enemy is to do it quickly and overwhelmingly. It is essential to self-defense to be able not simply to respond to a particular attack, but to eliminate the threat to your national security to begin with. And that's the real question of what proportionality involves or what is legitimate. And until that's better understood in the international system, we're going to see additional threats to the ability of the United States and its friends and allies to defend themselves in the war against terrorism.
Let's take it right to Iran. First of all, you know better than anybody because of your work here as ambassador at the UN and just generally in your knowledge of this area. How significant is Iran as a threat right now?
Well, right now, Iran is the world's central banker to international terrorism. It funds Hamas, Hezbollah, terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world. If you add to existing Iranian activities the capability to deliver nuclear weapons anywhere in the world, you make Iran a world power and a world threat. That's why it is legitimate for the United States, Israel, or others to take action now in self-defense to prevent Iran from continuing to violate its own treaty obligations and obtain nuclear weapons. It's not a desirable alternative, to be sure, but the preemptive use of military force in this case is actually far preferable to the world as it would be once Iran gets nuclear weapons.
I was going to follow up with that, because do you have any confidence whatsoever in the UN's capability or institutional willingness to take the kind of sanctions necessary to get Iran to stop?
There may well be a fourth sanctions resolution coming, but it will be just as toothless as the first three, and it will not do anything material to dissuade Iran from continuing its 20-year-long project to obtain nuclear weapons. The most likely outcome today, absent the use of military force by someone, is that Iran will have nuclear weapons and very soon.
If Iran does end up with nuclear weapons, what's the end result?
I don't think Iran is subject to classical theories of deterrence. I think it worked through luck during the Cold War. It's not a system we should want to live under. And Iran has a very different calculus about the benefits of human life than even the Soviet Union did. But even if I were wrong about our capability to deter Iran, it doesn't stop there. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia will, Egypt will, Turkey, perhaps others. So in 5 to 10 years, you could have a multipolar nuclear Middle East with half a dozen countries with nuclear weapons. That is a formula for insecurity.
Insecurity, but also the ending of democracies like Israel as we know it?
Right. I think in a multipolar nuclear Middle East, you'd have many countries looking at the one next door saying, I wonder if I should strike first before he strikes me. And I would think at that point, the use of nuclear weapons becomes almost inevitable.
Last question, and that is, can the world afford to wait?
I don't believe so, and I've felt this way for some time. I think it is a mistake to overestimate how much time we have in Iran. I don't believe in just-in-time non-proliferation, because if you miscalculate and Iran gets nuclear weapons, the entire balance of power has changed. We're in a very critical year this year.
General Ashcroft, let's go back to September 11th, 2001, and put this in a historical context. The president, the first lady, were on a reading initiative for students. In fact, we always remember that shot of the president being whispered to by Andy Card while he was in the reading program in Florida. What was your day like that day?
I was destined for Milwaukee, Wisconsin, again dispatched by the president, as other cabinet members were, to be reading with students that day. However, before I got to Milwaukee, the word got to me when I was over central Michigan. I remember on the one side of the plane, Kalamazoo, and on the other side of the plain, Grand Rapids.
What did they tell you?
Literally, the voice barked out of the cockpit saying, General Ashcroft, call the command center. Now, that could mean any number of things. It certainly didn't register with me at the time that I was going to be informed of this massive assault on America and her institutions. But I picked up the phone. The command center began to relate to me the details which were unfolding at the time.
What did they first tell you?
Well, they told me that there had been these planes that crashed into the Twin Towers. They told me that it appeared that this was not accidental, that there was a lot of uncertainty, and that there were other things that were still unfolding. I turned to the individuals in the plane with me, and I said, the world will never be the same.
Yeah, you've said that before. We've talked about that before. The event had just started unfolding. The two planes had hit the towers in New York. Yet you already knew that the world, to the people you were traveling with, your staff, that the world was never going to be safe. What do you mean by that?
Well, we may have overestimated the number of casualties. I don't know whether your mind will carry you back to September the 11th, but we were thinking 10 to 15,000 people dead, potentially. And there are a number of miraculous stories that surround 9/11, where people were late for work, or their conference, which was to have been convened in the neighborhood, was delayed or put into another setting. So we had anticipated on the initial reports that there were, that this, not to say that nearly 3,000 who died on 9/11 and the other injuries are not consequential, but we had anticipated the potential damage far greater. And an assault of that magnitude on the soil of America was totally unheard of. And I must say that it's one that we had not anticipated. We had been told that there was a lot of activity in the terrorist community, but we had been assured that it was the kind of activity that had previously characterized terrorism from the radical elements in the Middle East, and that those were sort of like the embassy bombings and things like that. That
not civilian targets.
Hadn't touched America, and many of them were sort of especially governmental targets.
Folks, with everything going on in the world, what you just heard in that documentary, The Export, is something that you're going to be hearing more about. You need to be educated on. We want to put the full copy of The Export in your hands. Make sure you check that out. But today, as we prepare for the hearings in Congress tomorrow about this attack on Benghazi, it's been 8 months, folks, and we still have not heard the truth from the administration. The truth is coming out. In fact, I think the truth is relatively clear. But the administration has still not been forthcoming in admitting that truth. We want you to sign our petition today demanding that we get direct answers from our president and our secretary of state. Call now 877-989-2255. You can also add your name at aclj.org. But call now 877-989-2255.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
When all you gotta keep is strong, move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, just to make it through. When all you gotta keep is strong, move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along just to make it.
Hey folks, it's Jordan Seculo. This is a very important day, which is why I want to join you for a few minutes, even though I'm on the road. Pastor Saeed Abedini turns 33 years old in solitary confinement as you're listening to my voice now. He's spending his birthday in solitary confinement in an Iranian prison away from his family for over 223 days because of his Christian faith. He can't talk to his kids, can't talk to or see his wife or kids here in the United States, all because he's a Christian. An American citizen who is suffering from severe medical issues, now forced to celebrate his birthday at the young age of 33, locked up in solitary confinement in one of Iran's most brutal prisons, Evin Prison. We need you to do two things. First and foremost, and everyone can do this one, is pray. Second is to take action at SaveSaeed.org. That's save, S-A-E-E-D, .org. And what can you do there? We have almost 600,000 people on a petition to save Saeed. I'm heading to the UN at the end of this month. I need your support. If you haven't signed that petition, do so at SaveSaeed.org. It's free. Here, the second part you can do, send a letter to Saeed. You know, he needs to know that so many people care about him, that all those hundreds of thousands of people who signed that petition took the time to write a letter to him. We're handling the postage. You'll actually be able to see the photos of how we're putting this together very soon this week. So check that out at SaveSaeed.org. Over 50,000 people have sent letters to Saeed. Do so, SaveSaeed.org. Remember his birthday today by praying for Saeed, who's 33, his wife, Nagme, their two children, Rebecca and Jacob, here in the United States, his family in Iran, and his family, and the Christians who are persecuted around the world. Thank you, and remember Saeed today. Now, folks, many people have spoken out for Saeed Abedini, and I want you to take a listen to those who have. All of these musicians, artists, who have taken the time to use their influence, to use the people that they reach, people that may be different than the American Center for Law and Justice, or what I can do here at ACLJ, or my dad can do in our team. Take a listen to them now.
In September of 2012, American pastor Saeed Abedini was arrested while building an orphanage in Iran. His charges? Sharing his Christian faith in homes across Iran. Saeed received a sham trial and faces the daily reality of physical and psychological abuse. Since Saeed's imprisonment more than 6 months ago, there has been an international response of support for the release of Pastor Saeed. Will you walk alongside me and more than 500,000 others and join the fight to help save Saeed? He's guilty only of being a child of God and a Christian. Sign his petition at SaveSaeed.org. While you're there, send Pastor Saeed a message of encouragement on his 33rd birthday as it draws near on May 7th. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. Share his story through Facebook and Twitter and get your friend and family involved in this global movement for the release of Pastor Saeed. For more information, visit SaveSaeed.org. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the support. If we don't stand by him, who knows who could be next?
My name is Marian.
And I am Marcia.
In 2009, we were thrown in Evin prison for our faith and were held prisoners there for 259 days.
One thing that helped us bear the horror of Evin was letters of encouragement and hope from the outside.
Our friend, Pastor Saeed Abedini, has now been in prison for over 6 months.
As his birthday approaches, we encourage you to write to Saeed a message of hope.
Go to SaveSaeed.org to find out how you can send a message to Saeed.
To send Saeed a message, click on the icon at the top of the page on SaveSaeed.org. Feel free to customize the text and let Saeed know of the more than 500,000 people that are standing with him globally. Please take note of a few guidelines while composing your message. Sign your name at the bottom of the message and we will print your letter and send it to Saeed in Iran. Our goal is to flood Saeed's prison with letters of encouragement. Encourage others to send Pastor Saeed a message by his birthday on May 7th. And if you haven't already, please sign his petition at SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner. Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Time is love. Gotta run. Love to hang longer, but I got someone who waits for me.
Hey Saeed, this is Bart from Mercy Me, and we are praying with everything that we have that you are home free and soon. We don't understand why things happen the way that they do, but we know and believe with all of our heart, as you do, that God has never once stepped off his throne. He's never once turned his back on you.
I've been the one to shake with fear and wonder if you're even here.
And I just pray that he gets his glory through this. I pray he gets his glory through you coming home to be with your family. And just keeping him the center of attention through this whole process. We're fighting for you, and we won't give up until something changes, until you're free.
You're the one who calls out kings. You shut the mouths of lions. You tear the dead to breathe. You're the one who walks the fire. You take the orphan's head. You are the one Messiah.
Ooh, you know I can't ignore.
Hey, Pastor Saeed, I'm Ricky Skaggs. We're praying for your release. We're praying for your strength. But more than anything, we're praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit to just come around you right now and just give you strength, give you courage, give you hope. We love you. God bless you, my brother.
Nothing beats a family. No, nothing beats a family. Now be it blood.
Folks, please go to SaveSaeed.org. That's save, and then it's SAEED.org. Saeed turns 33. Now, he is in solitary confinement and folks, in a very serious medical condition. Very serious. So we all need to pray. We all need to take action. You have to do something. You know, that was my words of the day on Twitter when talking about Saeed last night and today. Do something. And we've got options for you. You can pray, you can sign our petition, SaveSaeed.org, and you can also send a letter to Saeed, which we're handling all the cost. I mean, these are real letters that will be delivered to Evin Prison. None of this costs you a thing. So if you all you have to have is a couple minutes of your time. Do it at SaveSaeed.org. Do it in honor of Saeed on his birthday today. Celebrating that one behind bars in solitary confinement, what his wife Nagmeh compared to being thrown in a dark hole. 2x2 cells so you can't lay down. Folks, go to SaveSaeed.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.